Our next scripture is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Paul writes, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Let us pray. God, who has forgiven us in Christ, thank you for your kindness toward us, your compassion toward us in him. We pray that your word will accomplish its purpose in us here and now, to show us more of your kindness and the change it can make in our lives as we listen to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to the church in Ephesus, word of mouth is important. We hear that in our scripture passage today. Earlier on in this letter, Paul indicates that he has, quote, heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. They have a reputation for love, and it's not primarily the result of slick brochures or a state-of-the-art website. It's generated by the way that they relate to one another and embody the love of God in their life together. That kind of behavior develops a reputation, and word starts to get around. So between staying in touch with his own contacts in the fellowship and occasionally checking online to see what kind of Google reviews folks have left when they visited that church for the very first time, Paul can tell that in many ways the Ephesians are making progress. They're growing more and more into the holiness to which God has called them. So there is that good news, but there's also some concerning news too. There's news in circulation that isn't so good, because word of mouth indicates that there are some problems with words coming out of the mouths of some of the folks in Ephesus. In fact, Paul, when he's online, has been tracking the tweets going back and forth between some of the folks in the congregation. It's evident that there's some bitter verbal brawls breaking out too. So in one sense, there's a mixed situation here. By the time we reach today's text at the end of chapter 4, Paul is well into admonishing the Ephesians about their behavior. All that he has said so far about the grace of God in Christ, about unity in the congregation, about being filled with the Spirit, all this is just lofty theological talk if it doesn't show up in their walk. So Paul exhorts them to practice what they and he have preached. They've been raised by the dead, by the power of God, he says. But the way that some of them talk to one another makes it sound like they're still in the grave. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that includes their speech. The way that they talk, especially to one another, is supposed to be holy speech, godly speech. When they got baptized, their tongues were included in that. Paul reminds them of it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's a writer named Lauren Daisley who once committed herself to a month-long experiment to practice kindness in her speech. And she wrote about her experience in an article that was titled, My Month of No Snark. Now, snark is a shortened version of taking two words, snide and remark, and putting them together. Snark refers to sarcastic comments. And this is what she wrote. She said, it started when my husband, baby, and I drove away from a visit with my aunt, who has stage 4 breast cancer. I thought back on the 30 years I've known her. I have never once in all that time heard her say anything unkind, not even in the subtext of her words. That's one hell, or in this case, heaven, of legacy. I began to wonder, how would holding my tongue, or at least changing what came off of it, alter my relationships? Would I be forced into becoming a pushover, or would I find more direct ways to deal with disagreement? Would I be less interesting? Would I still feel like myself, even? Or in a bigger moral way, is it actually better? Now, what Daisley discovered was that it wasn't easy to live without snark, but she also came to see the benefits of avoiding it. And this is what she concluded. Kindness doesn't have to imply repression. It doesn't rein in humor or impede the fight for justice, but it does require discipline and substantive engagement with others. Note how her experience through that experiment helped her go even more deeply into the quality and the character of kind speech. I think that's part of what Paul is arguing for in our scripture passage today as he writes to the Ephesian Christians. He tells them what Christian speech is not. It's not anger, quarreling, bitterness, lying, deceit, or ruining the reputation of another. But notice that Paul doesn't leave it at that. He doesn't just tell them what Christian speech is not. He tells them as well what it is. It's truthful, helpful, positive, builds up. Christian speech, he says, is kind and compassionate. It has words of forgiveness for others. So you see that Christian speech is a matter of both subtraction and addition. It's about removing old patterns and introducing the new. It involves getting rid of certain patterns of verbal engagement and replacing them with ways of speaking that are more consistent with the character of God, His love and His kindness. After all, where would any of us be without the kindness of God? Where would we be? As Paul summarized it earlier in his letter, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So in and through Jesus Christ, the kindness of God has been put into action in our lives and in the world. And in this saving, life-giving kindness towards sinners, it's supposed to be embodied in the way that believers relate to one another and live with one another, live among themselves and live beyond themselves in the world, including our speech. And when I say kind speech, I'm talking about more than just nice speech. Now, don't get me wrong, niceness has a place in the Christian life. Niceness can be part of following Jesus, but being a follower of Jesus goes way beyond simply being nice to one another. We need to be nice to each other within the life of the congregation, beyond the life of the congregation in the world, but niceness often settles for simply pleasing others, or at least not offending them. Sometimes niceness settles for that. Niceness can operate sometimes at more of the surface level of matters, instead of going deeper and further where things need to go. Kindness is different. Kindness often goes further and goes deeper. It requires a greater degree of self-giving and sacrifice. Kindness puts more on the line in a way than niceness in order to seek the good of another. Kindness is intertwined probably even more deeply with love and compassion, these kinds of things. Keep in mind that when the Bible speaks about how God relates to us in our lives as human beings and relates to the world, it doesn't describe God's character and God's action primarily with the language of niceness, though niceness is important, like I said. One of the key terms is the Hebrew word, which gets translated in different ways. It can be translated as steadfast love or faithfulness, these kinds of things. But I also especially like the King James rendering, loving kindness. Loving kindness. In other words, when it comes to relating to His creation, to humankind, to each of us, the central characteristic of God is loving kindness. Loving kindness. His love is kind, and His kindness is loving. God's loving kindness is manifested to us most of all and most decisively and fully in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul grounds what he says here in this passage. He grounds it in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say, use kind words primarily because it may more likely generate a positive response from that other person. That may very well be true. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, use kind words primarily because, it may change someone else's heart and mind, though that may very well be true, too. Paul doesn't say, use kind words primarily because you have a better chance of making the world a better place, though that, too, may very well be true. All these kinds of things can be true. But that's not the way Paul grounds it or puts it. He grounds it in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Kill him with kindness. Now, that's not just the title of a song by Selena Gomez. It's also a widely used piece of wisdom or guidance. It means combating somebody else's hostility or aggression with kind words and or deeds. About a year ago, there was a man in Pensacola, Florida, named Brian Stewart, who wrongly took those words literally Some of his neighbors approached his place because of loud sounds and banging coming out of it. And he responded to them by exiting his house with a machete that had the word kindness written on it. One of the neighbors tried to step in to hinder the blow and managed to get a cut on their hand, and eventually the police showed up and arrested him and booked him on charges of aggravated battery and assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill. Clearly, this isn't what Paul has in mind when he talks about combating these kinds of things with kindness, though later in Ephesians, he does talk to them about putting on the full armor of God, right? That you take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, Paul doesn't speak about the machete of kindness, but he does talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. In other words, as believers, our primary weapon in this world is the gospel. This message of good news, of God's loving kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And our relationship with God, our relationship with one another is built on that. That's why Paul concludes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So our kind speech has to be grounded in God's kind speech. Kindness not simply because it's a word of wisdom or proper guidance. Those kinds of things can be true and helpful. But God's kind speech is what grounds our kind speech. And God's kind speech comes in the form of the cross. The cross does what no human being could ever do. It reconciles us to God and to one another. It breaks down the wall that separates us sinners from God and from one another. The cross establishes, we're told in Ephesians, peace between you and God, peace between you and others. And when you believe this good news and receive it into your life and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you're united with a community of people who were called and created to live out this peace, to embody this kindness of God toward the world and toward each of us, this community called the church. One of the critical ways that we preserve and promote and perpetuate this peace of God is through the kind of language that we use with each other, our words to one another. Now, we need to be careful, too, to keep in mind that kind speech doesn't mean that we avoid confrontation with one another where something wrong has happened. It doesn't mean that we fail to hold one another accountable when something wrong has been done. It doesn't mean, kind speech doesn't mean that we should just speak to one another with surface niceties or tiptoe around the hard, difficult things about living together as the family of God in the community of the church, those kinds of things. Kind speech, I think, recognizes all those challenges and those difficulties and those struggles of life in the Christian community in the church and engages those kinds of realities with a tone and with a kind of language that promotes healing, promotes unity, promotes reconciliation, these kinds of things. There's a preacher named John Claypool who once said, of all the creative potencies that we humans have, nothing is greater than a person saying, what happens to you makes a difference to me. What happens to you makes a difference to me, and extends to that person the gift of kindness. Sometimes we extend that gift of kindness through specific deeds and actions. Sometimes we extend that gift of kindness through words, which are themselves a form of action in other people's lives. And through the way that we engage one another verbally, we act out our faith We act out our faith in part through our words, and we embody the kindness of God toward us by the kind of language that we use with each other in the body of Christ. We practice what our scripture today reminds us of, kind speech, within the community of God's people and beyond the community of God's people in the world. Now, like I said, that goes beyond niceness. It doesn't mean not being confrontational about things that are wrong or that need to be addressed, but it does mean that it's the kind of speech that we're called to with one another and in the world. Let's start to think about, in closing, some of what that means for us in our life together as God's church and in the world. I think in part it means using your words and using your words to speak the truth, not falsehood, in whatever the situation. It means using your words to build others up, not to tear them down. It means using your words to serve someone else's needs, not just to secure your own interests or your own purposes. It means using your words to encourage someone's potential, not to try to ruin their reputation. That's part of what it means. It means using your words to communicate the facts, not to spread gossip. It means using your words to calm things down, not to stir things up. It means using your words to cultivate cooperation, not to create chaos. It means using your words to promote unity, not to perpetuate division. I think basically it means taking the kindness of God that's been shown toward you in Jesus Christ and extending that kindness to others in the church and beyond the church. Taking the kindness of God shown toward you in Christ and extending it to one another through the way that you use your words. Let's pray. Kind, compassionate, merciful God, thank you for your love toward us in Jesus Christ that raises us from the deadness of sin into new life. Thank you that you've given us language and words as a way of living out that new life in Christ. And especially in a day and time where so much of our conversation in our lives and in our culture and in our nation can be so harsh and bitter and ugly and mean and divisive, we pray that you help us as your people to reflect your kindness by the way that we talk and the words we use. Show us how to receive and extend your kindness to one another here in our church by the way we speak. Show us how to receive and extend your kindness into the world by the way that we talk and the language we use and the words we use each day in conversation and debate and discussion and in meetings and in every other setting where we use our words. Guide us to be people of kind speech that reflects your holiness and righteousness. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.